Hello, and welcome to this week's look at action and stunts on film and television. I was once told that what separates a great movie from a classic movie is usually the soundtrack, which I think we can all agree is true in films like Jaws, Terminator 2, Spaghetti Westerns, and Star Wars. They just wouldn't be the same without their memorable themes. Just hearing their respected musical score can spark visions of your favourite scenes from each movie. The same can be said about stunt people. You can have the best film director and editor in the business, but their vision doesn't make it to the big screen if the stunts can't be performed. Kerry Lofton made a lifelong career of bringing the visions of some of the greatest film directors in history to life as a stunt driver. You may not recognise the name, or if you do, it's vague and fuzzy from sitting in the backlog of your memory bank, but you'll be most definitely recognise his portfolio. Some say he was the greatest car man in the business. You watch any film from the late 30s to the late 90s, there's a good chance Lofton worked on it as a stuntman, driver, coordinator, or actor. The list of iconic movies he's been part of is truly remarkable. Born in Blountstown, Florida in 1914, but growing up in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Lofton began his career in show business as a member of a travelling motorcycle stunt show in the early 1930s at the age of 19. The story of how he was hired for the show is a perfect example of the type of character Lofton was. But first, I have to mention his first motorcycle. His first bike was a single-cylinder Indian that cost him a whopping $10. A total beater of the bike that made a mechanic out of Lofton. Story goes that the cylinder in the old Indian was so loose that it rattled around until it finally cracked. Not having the money to buy a new replacement, he did what a lot of us would have done and went to a junkyard. Lofton wanted to find a piston from a car that he could adapt for his bike. When he finally found one that fit inside the barrel, he noticed that it was too tall. Broke ingenuity took over, and Lofton simply took a file and hand-grounded the piston head until it was short enough to fit. But now he was left with a cylinder head that was domed instead of flat. That domed cylinder made the engine stronger than ever and converted the bike into a sleeper. Lofton was untouchable with it. In 1933, the travelling motorcycle stunt team arrived to his town, with Skip Fordyce leading the show. During the show, Fordyce had just finished a routine and was addressing the crowd when someone blurted out, "I can do anything you can do." Fordyce looked up into the stands to see a young kid with a burning determination in his eyes. It was Lofton. Fordyce didn't hesitate and asked him to prove it, and Lofton responded by climbing down and disappearing. Thinking that he'd called Cocky Punk's bluff, Fordyce went back to addressing the crowd when he suddenly heard a motorcycle rumbling in the distance and getting ever louder. Out comes Lofton on his old Indian. Lofton started riding around the area using his motorcycle as a balance beam to perform all sorts of extraordinary aerobatics in front of the crowd, and Fordyce hired him on the spot. Kerry Lofton was inducted into the AMA Motorcycle Hall of Fame in 2001. Now, there isn't enough time in the world for me to go through his 300-plus credits over a 60-year period, but many of you will be familiar with his work, even if you don't recognise his face or name. Steven Spielberg's Duel was an example of Carey at work. The villain of the piece isn't a person, but a vehicle. The truck that chases Dennis Weaver had to be driven in such a way that it looked menacing enough to sell it on the big screen. In 1984, director Taylor Hackford brought a movie to the screen that required a spectacular car chase. Stunt coordinator Gary Davis brought in Kerry to assist and drive the other car in the sequence, the Porsche versus Ferrari chase is simply spectacular. His work can also be seen in shows like The Deer Hunter, Vanishing Point, The Love Bug, Some Like It Hot, Maximum Overdrive, Smoking the Bandit 1 and 2, The Great Race, The Goonies, The Getaway, just to name a few of his films he's worked on. Lofton's also done huge quantities of TV work on shows like The A-Team, The Dukes of Hazzard, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and The Rockford Files. We owe a lot to our favourite movies to Lofton's skill for making the impossible possible. Two films that change the way we look at vehicular stunts are It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, made in 1963, and Bullet from 1968.
A United Airlines jet lands in Los Angeles, launching the biggest entertainment airlift in motion picture history. The world's press, some 300 newsmen from four continents, arrive for the Hollywood premiere of Stanley Kramer's
It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
There was a certain amount of money buried down in this park. Now, I suggest that we quietly get into our cars, and then when we get down there, we dig up the money, providing that there is some money there.
There's only one way to figure it, and that is every man for himself.
And so begins the maddest, wildest, zaniest chase ever filmed as our merrymakers race across country by land, by sea, by air. For somewhere there's a fortune in buried treasure. Which one of our Mad World comedy stars will be the first to reach it?
Now, where have I always told you that the Smiler hid the dough?
Where?
Right there.
The world's critics go stark raving, Mad, Mad, Mad. The wildest chase comedy on record, raved the New York Journal American.
Nobody's going to get me up in the air.
A smash. Has more laughs than any other comedy in the history of the screen, raved the Los Angeles Herald Examiner.
Why can't you have a little confidence in me?
It's a mad, 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 mad world.
It's confident.
You can't afford to miss this. Wildest comedy ever filmed, added the Boston Record American.
Help! Help! Betsy, say something!
Everything you've heard is true. It's the biggest entertainment that ever hit the screen with laughter.
Oh, left runner! No! No, no, no!
Wild and hilarious all the way. It's a Mad, 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 Mad World is everything its extravagant title suggests, says the New York Times. A wham-doodle, humdinger, stemwinder, said the New York World Telegram and Sun. Great Britain's Manchester Guardian applauded with exuberant, exhilarating, triumphant. Marvelous, wild, prodigious slapstick, exclaimed the New York Post. Everyone who's ever been funny is in it.
Our traffic is so congested. Mass confusion on wheels. But Detroit is a drite. What they'll do in Detroit is make bigger automobiles. So be a happy fellow. Be a clown boy. Punch and mellow. Get off the shelf and enjoy yourself. It's a man.
Frank Bullitt, some other kind of cop. Pity the guy he works for.
Lieutenant, don't try to evade the responsibility. In your parlance, you blew it.
What the hell is going on here? A high-speed pursuit? Two men are killed? An officer in the hospital? A witness almost murdered?
Captain Baker would like to have a word with you.
Now listen to me, Lieutenant.
All right, nail him. I want him written off.
Did you let anything reach you? I mean, really reach you? Or are you so used to it by now that nothing really touches you? You're living in a sewer, Frank. Day after day. With you, living with violence is a way of life. Living with violence and death.
The way Frank Bullitt's swinging, you know he's heading for a crash with that roar of official disapproval. But when some rare Chicago blood starts spilling in San Francisco, they hand Bullitt the muff.
Now, what went wrong, Lieutenant?
Who else knew where he was?
What?
Who else knew where he was?
What are you implying?
Well, they knew where to look for him and they used your name to get in.
Are you suggesting I disclosed his whereabouts?
You believe what you want. You work your side of the street, and I'll work mine.
Mad World has often been regarded as the first comedy blockbuster, costing a huge $9 million to make. Most of that went on hiring its all-star cast, who included Spencer Tracy, Ethel Merman, Sid Caesar, Mickey Rooney, Terry Thomas, Buddy Hackett, Phil Silvers, Milton Berle, and the magnificent Jonathan Winters. And for those who don't know who he was, we wouldn't have had Robin Williams without him. These stars were also assisted by a smorgasbord of familiar faces getting in on the action with cameos like Buster Keaton, Jerry Lewis, Three Stooges and Jimmy Durante, to name but a few. Director Stanley Kramer had thrown the kitchen sink at an elaborate story about greed, which results in a chase across the country to find a huge sum of money buried by a man who tells everyone about it as he's taking his last breath. The surrounding group decide to go get it, and to hell with the consequences. The ensuing chase is in all manner of vehicles, and Carrie Lofton is smack bang in the middle of it. Not only did he supervise all the action, he also doubled Jimmy Durante, Terry Thomas and Phil Silvers during their more daring moments on screen. Many extraordinary gags were performed, including car turnovers, car jumps, high work, including a remarkable sequence at the end of the picture where all the main cast are attached to a fire escape ladder as it swings from one side of the row to the other, and a flying stunt that harked back to the Roaring Twenties. Stunt pilot Frank Tallman flew the Twin Beach aircraft through a billboard on the side of a main road, which damaged the plane enough for it to have to make a very swift landing. Testing had taken place with paper filling the gap where the billboard should be. Tallman flew through every time with no problem. For the take, the paper was replaced with light board, and on impact, the plane damaged one of its engines and ripped off a section of the plane's wingtips. Whatever Frank was paid, it wasn't enough.
Hi, I'm Rob.
I'm Simon.
And I'm James.
We want to talk about those movies. Those supposedly bad movies. Those movies that bombed.
To see if they weren't that bad after all, join us every other Tuesday on the For Your Reconsideration podcast, part of the Pod Dojo podcast network.
You can catch us on iTunes, Spotify, and all your usual podcast apps.
And it won't cost you a solitary bean, mate.
It's like it's free.
It's just like it's free.
In 1968, Steve McQueen got together with director Peter Yates to make Bullitt, a slick cop drama set in San Francisco. McQueen, as we all know, was a speed freak. He loved to be behind the wheel of a fast car or bike, doing the impossible. In this film, a chase had been planned through and up and down the streets of San Francisco, long before filming. McQueen brought in Cary Lofton to work out final details, and gave him someone to work with to give him that racing driver feel in the character's vehicle, the Mustang. Lofton gave him Bill Hickman, perhaps the finest stunt actor at the time. Director Yates decided that casting Hickman in the role of the driver would make much more sense than having to get him doubled. So, Steve McQueen and Bill Hickman would be driving their own cars. The other 16 stunt drivers would be ND stunt drivers, nondescript. They'd be in the other vehicles in the chase, those near misses, those getting out of the way. And Steve's longtime friend and stuntman, Bud Eakins, rides the motorcycle that crashes at McQueen's Mustang, veers off the road during the chase. Cary was also the camera car driver for much of the airport sequence later on in the film. Steve McQueen can actually be seen lying down as the real aeroplane passes over the top of him, very much the Tom Cruise of his day. The action and car chase is so iconic in its way, it was shot and edited, that directors today still need this type of adrenaline when they make movies. It's been so influential to cinema that decades apart it still speaks volumes. Bill Hickman drove the camera car in The French Connection, which influenced director Edgar Wright, who was at the helm of the magnificent car chase movie Baby Driver. You could throw a stick and find a Cary Lofton-influenced action sequence in most movies that followed Mad World and Bullet. That's how important it was. Lofton retired at the age of 77 in 1991, but kept on working in films and television. Just because you're retired doesn't mean you have to stop moving. His last job was in Patrick Swayze's film Black Dog, driving a semi-truck, of course. Lofton passed away in 1997 of natural causes at the age of 83, which, for a man who gambled with his life for so many years, it's nice to know that he left the world peacefully and not tragically. Well, that's it for today, and join us again on Saturday. Yes, you heard me right, Saturday, you're not dreaming, when we will do the YouTube deep dive into both of these movies. Don't forget to check out the Pod Dojo Network. They are responsible for this podcast. And until next time, it's bye for now.